Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Ladd. We're actually coming to you for the first time from TPC Sawgrass this week. That is because, Rex, you have been diagnosed with allergy-related laryngitis. What does that mean? What exactly have you been dealing with so far this week at the Players?
Apologies in advance. This is the way I sound. I'm sorry. I'm getting better day by day. I found out I was yesterday years old when I learned that seasonal allergies were actually a thing. Kind doctor here at the CVS right next to TPC Sawgrass explained it to me. I do have laryngitis, but I got steroids. I feel like $1 million. I feel so good.
He's going to be roid raging by the weekend, no doubt. That is why we did not do the preview episode. We were sparing you. Rex was getting sidelined from
his
live Please. From duties. Yeah, this you is actually an improvement. Yes. We did not want to hear the comments about how dreadful he sounds, how he just needs to get in bed. He feels fine, sounds terrible.
$1 million.
He is gutting it out right now at the Players Championship. Let's get into it, Rex. It was a pretty busy day. We had Kyle Morikawa withdrawing after the first hole. We had Roy McIlroy, who we just spoke to, in the flash area. Scotty Scheffler, an even par round of 72. Right now, as we're recording this, still a couple of players left on the golf course. We have a four-way tie with the lead. Mav McNealy, Lee Hodges, Sepp Straka, Sahithagal, with, again, a couple of players still on the golf course. What has stood out to you most on Thursday?
It was kind of a twofold deal with the news with Colin Morikawa. You and I both were there this morning when he withdrew. Bit of a surprise because I think you and I both picked him. So don't go to our punch shots from yesterday because apparently they were dead wrong. He was the easy favorite coming into this week. You look at what he has done in his last three starts. He's won. He's had top tens in his other two finishes. He played well here last year. It seems to me his long iron game is tailor-made for a golf course like TPC Sawgrass. And to lose it on one practice swing was pretty shocking. And that's, he said his warm-up was fine. He felt great going into the round. You look what he did on the first hole, number 11. Yep. He should have made birdie. I think he missed about an 8-footer for birdie and then was taking practice swings on the 11th tee and something just didn't feel right. And he said he knew it immediately.
One practice swing. He wasn't taking multiple practicing. His first practice swing, boom, knew immediately that something was wrong and ended up withdrawing from the Players' Championship.
Yeah,
it certainly was. You asked me on live for my level of concern as it relates to Kyle Morikawa. I don't know. I did not have a good answer for you because at this point, when we last talked to Kyle Morikawa, he didn't know either. Basically, just in the fact that it popped up out of nowhere. He even said, Rex, that this was, he thought he was going to be faster on Thursday than he had been the entire season. He looked sort of at the statistics of Kyle Morikawa. He has gotten faster. He has gotten stronger. He has gotten longer. He's ticked up about 2 or 3 miles an hour in ball speed this season. He's gained about 8 yards of distance. You mentioned how well he's playing arguably some of the best golf of his career at this point, a massive disappointment for a player who is the most bet player heading into the first round of the Players Championship. So that's Kyle Morikawa. Roy McIlroy was sort of the injury question heading into this tournament. He pegged it, Rex, on Wednesday as a game time decision of whether he was going to play.
Not really. It doesn't seem like it.
I just asked him before he departed the flash area. I said, was it touch and go on Thursday morning about whether you were going to play? He said, not really. Woke up feeling better. The sensitivity that he was feeling in his back that was trickling down to other parts of his body has been minimized. That's what he was hoping for as the week progressed. It certainly seems that way. 2 over par 74, did not birdie a single par 5 at TPC Sawgrass. Obviously, all of them are very, very gettable. Your thoughts on Roars?
The one thing that stood out, I asked him, what was the level of pain? Like, did you go out and was this a struggle? Because certainly his game looked like it was a struggle. Was it physically a struggle? And he kind of dismissed the idea. He said, yes, bending over, hitting some weird shots, maybe some chip shots. Certainly when you're hitting putts, there was a little bit of discomfort. But he didn't blame any of what happened today. Actually, it sounded more like, this felt more like rust, which is weird because he just played last Friday. He played well. He was tied for 9th when he had to withdraw from Bay Hill last week. So it's not as though he was playing poorly. But you look at what he did statistically. Middle of the pack off the tee. Middle of the pack when it comes to his iron play. Bottom half of the pack when it comes to putting. He really didn't do anything well. Hit less than half his fairways. And it seems to me he had the two-way miss going.
Yeah.
On the front nine, it was all lefts. On the back nine, it was all right. So there wasn't anything about his game that gave him some sort of confidence going into tomorrow that he can turn.
He said he felt incredibly rusty, which is, it's sort of silly to think about because he shot 68 on Friday at Bay Hill. But that's not like you and I, Rex, not playing for a week and then all of a sudden going over to my club at Marsh Landing down the street and pegging it. These guys are creatures of habit. They rarely have a golf club out of their hands for 2 to 3 days at a stretch. So for Roy McIlroy, he said he only hit about 30 balls on Wednesday at TPC Sawgrass when he arrived in the afternoon. We saw that in painstaking detail when I was on the live from desk. He was just hitting a couple shots, going back, taking a sip of water, talking to his trainer, talking to his caddy, talking to Victor Hovland. Very, very casual warm-up session. And again, did not hit anything more than a 6-iron on Wednesday when he got to the golf course. On Thursday, went through his pretty standard routine, hitting putts, hitting chips, bunker shots, long pitches, went through a full warm-up, obviously hit fairway woods, drivers and the like, and long irons as well. It looked completely normal. Stepped up on the first hole and absolutely roasted his first tee shot. So I didn't see anything physically limiting him. It was just a lot of competitive rust after, again, not having a golf club in your hands for the better part of 6 days on a very challenging, precision-oriented golf course like this one.
And to be fair, that's a really good point. Even though he just played last Friday, just keep in mind, didn't touch a golf club. When he got home on Saturday, he said he went straight to his therapist, started getting therapy, didn't touch a club until he got here late Wednesday afternoon. You're right, never got past the 6-iron in the session on Wednesday afternoon, walked 6 holes, just chipped and putted. And he also pointed out he chipped and putted on a completely different golf course. We're going to talk a little bit. There was a storm that came through about midday, really got wet in the afternoon, and this golf course flipped on a dime. The winds turned all the way around out of the northeast. It was very much a different golf course in the afternoon.
It does not necessarily seem like he's out of this golf tournament as we sit right now. And again, Austin Smotherman is tied for the lead at 5-under, playing the par 5 ninth, his 18th of the day. Certainly possible he could get to 6-under, but let's say he makes par on his final hole of the day. Rory's just sitting 7 shots back. As he mentioned, he's starting on the back nine on Friday. Those are 3 birdie opportunities, assuming that you put the ball in the fairway. Potentially, he could get himself back into the golf tournament. He's certainly going to need to be sharper. Needs to putt better. Only made about 35 feet worth of putts on Thursday. How about the world number one, Scottie Scheffler? A lot of talk about the driver. A lot of talk about his iron play, which has actually been sort of pedestrian on the PGA Tour to this point. All of the misses inside 10 feet last week at Bay Hill on greens that he described as dead. What did you make of Scottie Scheffler managing an even par 72? Again, at this point, putting himself just 5 shots back.
I felt like statistically that was a good 72.
Yeah.
When you look at what he
putted well.
Yeah, he putted really well. And that was the only bright spot of his game. Scottie Scheffler used words like mental errors and messy to describe his round. That is not Scottie Scheffler. He can go through these struggles. He can go through times when he's not putting well. We have certainly seen that. We've gone through times when he's maybe not hitting his driver as well as he wants. That's the issue right now. For him to say that he's making mental errors, that's a bit of a surprise. He was clearly frustrated. Went straight from his media session to the range and started working with poor Randy Smith, who's out there catching it on the chin, shot after shot. I'm kidding. Randy loves. He's a great coach. But when you look at what Scotty hasn't done the last few weeks, this is now 5 consecutive events where he has started a tournament with a round in the 70s. That's very un-Scottie Scheffler-like, and it's starting to become a bit of an issue. I think you and I were on the same page. We dismissed the first week when he got off to a slow start at Scottsdale. It was just a weird Thursday. The second week, we dismissed it. The third week, we dismissed it. By this time, I think it is going to be a concern because we're getting closer and closer to the Masters.
Do you think it's a first-round issue, or is it just the fact that he's sloppy? He's just a little bit scrappy at this point. It's pretty obvious he's not anywhere near his A game at this point. But again, he still manages 72. Again, he's still just 5 shots back, assuming he finds something on the range and could potentially make a run here.
It's not a Thursday issue because I think that's just an anomaly. Yeah. There's no way to explain. He plays well.
He's the most prepared player Friday on the PGA Tour.
He plays well Friday through Sunday, but something's wrong on Thursday. That doesn't add up. That doesn't make any sense. Sloppy's the right way of saying it. And we haven't really seen, I haven't seen a sloppy Scottie Scheffler really since his first year on tour. And he struggled, and he went out, and he didn't quite have what he needed. He wasn't showing up at events completely ready, and that flipped on a dime, and he has turned into that player week in and week out. That's the part that surprises me. And he went back to his old driver. That was what we talked about last week at Bay Hill. That wasn't the issue.
The driver on Thursday was a bit of an issue, which is sort of curious because I think there's a level of head scratching where you see Scottie Scheffler and he's trying to get in this driver just as he was trying to get into it at the Hero World Challenge, just as he was trying to get into it ahead of the WM Phoenix Open, where he admittedly hit too many balls leading into that golf tournament. He did get into that new driver from his manufacturer at Bay Hill, did not drive it particularly well, and again was non-committal on Sunday whether he was going to play with it. We saw him over and over again with the different shafts, with the different club heads, working on it, getting frustrated, trying to figure out the best course of action. Scotty eventually went back to the old driver. That wasn't all of a sudden solving what ails him. And in fact, he almost seems between two drivers. It seems like he's between two swings. There was a certain understanding that he had with that old driver of the shots that he could play. And he, because of the
shots spin, he could trust.
Yes. And the spin rates that he has with this new driver, it's a little bit faster. But when he now goes back to the old driver, he seems to be having difficulty pulling off those same shots with the expectation. Now, on this golf course at TPC Sawgrass, almost all of the trouble is left. Yes, there's trouble everywhere. I don't want to dismiss that. Hmm. But you can pay a really steep penalty to miss left. Scottie Scheffler, interestingly enough, misses right fewer than any player, or less than any player on the PGA Tour. Six of his seven missed fairways on Thursday were to the right. So this is a player who's clearly avoiding that, playing away from that miss. However, that's not his traditional miss. And so when you're missing in a direction that you typically don't, and you're playing from the rough, which you typically do not, I think that's why you're starting to see a trickle-down effect of he's missing more fairways. All of a sudden, his approach play is not as good. He's put more pressure and onus on his scrambling and his putting. It's adding up to a player who's just a little bit sloppy at this point in the season.
And he explained it actually really well amid the frustration after the round today. The idea being that with the new driver, he picked up speed, he picked up some spin, but he wasn't able to release it at the bottom like he wanted to. Normally he releases it at the bottom. He knows it's going to start a little left and just sort of drop to the right. That driver, the new one, was going left.
Yeah.
And that's not what he wants to do.
Trying to play a peeler and having it turn over from right to left, that would certainly be a little bit frightening for a player who typically has a great amount of command. Any other stories, Rex, stand out to you? Justin Thomas is certainly one that stands out to me.
JT, I think coming off of that, what he did last week, 79-79, that was a big step for him to shoot 68 today.
You want me to take this?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and take this. And that's a story I wrote for golfchannel.com on Thursday, was the fact that Justin Thomas is no stranger to big comebacks at TPC Sawgrass. You look back at what happened in 2021, had a really slow start to the week. All of a sudden, he fired some great rounds on the weekends to win his first Players' Championship. What happened last year? Shot 78 in the opening round, 62 in the second round just to make the cut. I would argue that the comeback that he had on Thursday at TPC Sawgrass was even more impressive, just based on the fact that he was dead last in the field last week in the signature event at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, rounds of 79-79. Again, dead last, did absolutely nothing well. Rex, to see the transformation that Justin Thomas had week over week, I asked him, I said, is this validating that you were actually closer last week than perhaps your scores indicated? He said, yeah, you know, I can hit the shots at home. I can know that I'm playing well. I can shoot the scores in casual rounds. But to have something that was so jarring, I think, and left him so shell-shocked afterward, he called those scores of 79 at Bay Hill humiliating and embarrassing. To turn around a week later, I think just shows the caliber of player that JT really is.
And he talked to throat lozenge. Should help. Sorry, apologies. And he talked about that today, about being embarrassed last week. And he also talked about, I thought the fascinating part was the difference between hitting all of those shots at home, like he has been essentially for the last 2 months, and then coming out here, trying to do it at game speed with a scorecard in your hand. You know how difficult that was. This was such a huge jump for him, because I think mentally he came out of last week really beat up.
Yeah,
like for a player of that caliber to do that, you have to start second guessing yourself. So he needed this today.
Yeah, he absolutely did need this. In fact, he said that walking off his last hole of the day, I needed this just to prove it to myself that I can still do it. I'm perhaps not as far away as it seemed. You mentioned the weather. That was one of the big things that we were keeping an eye on for Thursday. It was not unexpected that we were going to have a storm, that we were going to have potentially a stoppage of play. It only lasted about 20 or 30 minutes. Players were just sheltering in place for the large part, but it did change sort of the trajectory of the afternoon. When we first arrived at TPC Sawgrass on Thursday, it was pretty blustery.
Yeah.
The winds were whipping 15, 20. I saw gusts upward of 25 miles an hour. When that storm came right about the lunch hour, it completely changed the direction in the afternoon. And then at this point in the season, we're recording this at 7:30 p.m., the wind has completely died down. It became a beautiful day with the rains that softened it and the winds dying down. Scoring in the afternoon became much, much better. And all of a sudden you have a very jam-packed leaderboard with a lot of players between 2 and 5 under par.
Yeah, you had a late wave, early wave situation going on here, where the late wave clearly ended up on the right side of the draw because it became so much softer. Rory talked about it. He said they were 2 feet slower in the afternoon.
I mean, that was a squall. That was a nasty squall that blew through.
So I think that was huge. I think that's what you saw.
When you look at Rex, one of the big storylines heading into this week was just the course conditioning. The firmness of the greens coupled with rough that was topped off at 4 inches on Sunday is anticipated to grow, especially with the warmer temperatures that we had earlier this week, 5-6 inches in spots. I think you saw that difficulty. Reward said TPC Sawgrass on its face is a pretty scoreable golf course. All the par fives are very gettable. They have short par fours as well. If you put yourself
in for them, it's
scoreable. Yes. To me, it's the hardest golf course I have ever played. For a professional golfer, if you put the ball in the fairway, it's very, very scoreable. And so I think the weather could have been worse. I'll put it that way. In terms of the amount of water that was thrown in this golf course, the fairways were always going to be really, really soft and receptive, because to get the rough this thick, this juicy, this healthy, you have to water the golf course. And so even with the sort of firmness of the greens, the fairways were still pretty slow.
Yeah.
A lot of players told me you're only anticipating about a 5-10 run out. So those are still playing a little bit wider. I'd love to see this place bake out even a little bit more on Friday and Saturday. The greens still have a thud to them. They weren't necessarily, I wouldn't call them receptive. You know, even after the rain that came, it was about 1/4 inch that eventually fell on TPC Sawgrass. This place by Saturday, with more winds expected, again, out of a different direction and ample sunshine on Friday and Saturday, I still think we're looking at a very stern test this week at TPC Sawgrass. I don't think the scores are going to get out of hand.
You saw some balls spinning back in the afternoon. I think it did get softer. Again, Rory's words, 2 feet slower. That's a pretty significant.
Slower and softer are two different things. Every player has mentioned they're brown and they're crispy, but for some reason, they're also a little bit slower than potentially they're anticipated. Again, scores have not run away here. 500 par is the leading score.
And to get what you want, I'm with you. I'd like to see them get a little bit crustier as we get towards Sunday.
Yeah.
There's more rain in the forecast on Sunday, so I don't know if that's going to happen. But certainly, you saw the tougher version this morning. With those blustery winds, the scoring averages were through the roof.
Anything you're going to be keeping your eye on in particular on Friday here at TPC Sawgrass before we get out of here?
I did just want to mention one of the leaders, Mav McNealy. I was speaking with his swing coach this afternoon, and he told me, hold on, let me check my notes. Yep, just learned how to hit the ball both ways this week. That was a thing that Scott Hamilton told me, but I kind of recoiled at the idea that a world-class player who's won on the PGA Tour has done it. But that, to me, would be huge, because you have a player.
I mean, I'm sure he can, probably just doing it on command, I'm guessing he means, or does he literally mean I can?
This is something they've been working on for quite a while, and with the eye towards this golf course, because you have to move the ball in both directions on this golf course. He normally likes to fade the ball. He likes to see it drop to the right on this particular golf course. And Scott said he saw him hit some shots today off the tee on 10, for example, where you have to turn the ball over, and he was able to do it there. He said on the second hole where you had to turn the ball over, he saw him do it. So I've seen impressive things in the past out of Mav, but if you can find a way to consistently work the ball, I'd be curious how that works out.
Interesting. Former hockey player, you would think he would be hitting a draw predominantly with a slapstick motion.
I think he wanted to stay a little laid off as he went through this swing change with Scott Hamilton was the idea.
Yep. Had an opportunity to win about a month ago at the Phoenix Open that I was covering. It certainly seems, Rex, like he... like a lot of the players on the leaderboard, Sepp Straka comes to mind as well. Player ready to take the next leap. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Joe podcast with Rex and Lav. I can make no promises, but I certainly hope the expectation will be that
I'll
Rex
be
will sound even better. Sort of like Rory McIlroy. As the week progresses, Rory's feeling a little bit better. Fingers crossed that Friday at the Players' Championship, Rex will be feeling better as
well. Got a tickle. That's all.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for support. Talk to you guys in about 24 hours.